discussion. We have fully 1 hour time. Today we have a good participation. I'm very happy. Start. I would like to say that we have appointed discussion. We have appointed sutta for the as the main topic. So before going to that, if anyone is having any interesting issues or any other discussions or any interview reports, we can take few minutes.
Sarai Bhante, I'm Niranja here. We have received one report from the Sai Bhante. Can, with
yes,
your permission,
please.
I would like to...
Yes, present, yes. Please.
Yes, Bhante. Most respected Bhante, sitting. Several weeks ago, I reported about a state of unconsciousness into which I regularly drift during sitting. I was then advised to learn to awaken into this state. I didn't understand how I can awaken into a state if there's no awareness at all. But anyway, I tried and failed. An increasing time of my sitting was spent in unconsciousness, which I will now call backouts. I couldn't prevent from this happening, not even by keeping the eyes open. This dynamic made my energy drop even lower. I thought of interrupt it by making 10-minute sitting so I would stop before a blackout happens. Sitting for 10 minutes, rising, falling is very subtle and the awareness goes to the energetical activity in the head. It requires a lot of strength and determination to be with the perception and not to drift away. I know from past experience how to proceed from here. So the energetical agitation and the body dissolve and a very different state sets in. I'm not able to do this much now, but it's improving since I'm shortened the sittings. These days, I don't follow a schedule, but set several times a day when I felt that the energy level is good for a fighting sitting. When sitting becomes more calm, a blackout is pretty sure to happen even if I try to be prepared. Therefore, I avoid dwelling in any calm state which may arise. The last 2 days, a few times, the energy lasts little longer and I could sit up to 30 minutes without blackout. When the energy drops or a first blackout happened, I stopped the sitting. Now I feel ready to increase the number of sittings per day for 15 minutes or longer if I feel fairly safe from blackout. And also start sitting session independently of my energy level, hoping to somehow be able to gather enough strength to avoid blackouts. Please, respected Bhante, is this procedure skillful or what do you advise? I'm grateful for any feedback. Thank you very much. Therwan Saranai. End of the report, Bhante.
So we just finished the English single medium discussion. We were just talking about this one. And definitely, if I receive 10 reports, 8 are something like this. So that means at this level, there's a direction, there's a lead, there's a Kamatan Sutta, you know, it's a singular. You must have prepared mind. You must have the prepared mindset, otherwise never you will go to, because you are completely wrong in understanding the situation. But you are really explaining the situation, lucky enough, we are also. So I am reading the page number 88 of the Concept and Reality. So anyone can take, it is only cheap book, 200 rupees, but no one is reading. This is the best book ever published in Buddhist Publication Society, done by Venerable Katukurundi Jnanananda, and he is explaining a stanza, but I am going to not present the traditional stanza. I am just reading the book instead of me. Others also can read it, but I will give it because this is not the main issue today. But definitely it is the hardcore issue. All the formulas of Paticchasamuppada are specific application to this principle. That is, imasming sati imang hoti. That is the sutta. That's the stanza, he says, some relation. When applied to the phenomena of our daily experience, these principles enable us to wean our minds from the tendencies to rest on the concept of existence and non-existence. As a preliminary step toward the end, these two concepts are replaced by the term upada, arising, and via decay. These latter enable us to view two extremes rightly, or the sammaditti, a correct perspective, as they are suggestive of the conditionality. In developing the samatha and vipassana, calm and insight meditation within brackets, the mind is made to oscillate between these two terms with ever-increasing momentum. This is the part yogis can't understand. They become mobilized, they become diligent, they become vigilant. Ultimately, they can't maintain the posture. It is like a cyclone. So this is happening very quickly, very often, if you enough apply the basics of the mindfulness. If you can just be with, if you are with avenued with the primary object, within few minutes, you are losing the control. So this is what you are complaining, but I am not presenting this chapter with the complaining vocabulary. Increasing momentum spurred and on by these signata, anicca, transient nature, dukkha, suffering and the anatta, non-self. At the peak of intensity of this oscillation, the lingering notions of the existence and the non-existence wane into the insignificance, since the mind now hardly rests on them. This is called unpropped mind. Appatittita manasa. Mind is there, it is non-local. Moving in a such a way, you can't localize. You can't see what is the pivotal point. That is what the quantum physics, one stand of the quantum physics is non-locality. Just so fast, quickly changing. And the Buddha, it says, according to the Buddhist vocabulary, it says appatittita vijnana. Mind is not resting on one place. It's such a fast movie. It is happening only in the dynamism. Oscillation has built these three signata. Hence, he cut off the thread of selfhood, already made slender, as at the stage of the neither perception nor non-perception, nor neva sanya na sanyayatana, that is also almost like within bracket, the thread by which the mind was oscillating under the artificial superstructure of the concepts. As he lets go selfhood, he touched the realm of the cessation. So, nirodham pusati, puttapada sutta. He occasionally feel lost. That's why in less letter says black box, the black hole, the darkness. Then try your best to avoid it. That means you hate Nibbana. You hate liberation. You hate transcendental. Because you know you are happy with the known area. So that is what is very well explained in this concept and reality. Puttapada Sutta, please refer. Thus, the distressful tension abates dukkha upasama. But you think it is as a suffering. Because dukkha is completely lost now. No base, no prop, not pinned down. So you consider it as a address, no address. Because your ego lost. So how to convince a person to facilitate it? But your common sense is always avoiding it. I will give an example. Definitely, you will argue with me. There's a big lab in end of the Switzerland called CERN. We are 27-mile circle, 9 meters below the ground level, and they accelerated the particles, and recently they started the machine. But everyone suspected the black hole may come, and the whole world will be sucked into that. Therefore, they are not happy. That's exactly Buddhism. You consider this as a black hole, and therefore you are running, avoiding, running into the suffering. So when Jnanananda says it is not propped up, it is not based upon something, it is like everything lost. that is Nirodha. You are touching it, but you have a phobia. You have a fear. Each and every yogi is the same, including me. Not a single one here, not touched. It's a very common thing. It's a very pervading thing. It's a very cheap thing. But only thing is we have a phobia. We have a fear. So he explained it in 5 different ways. That's important because we have the familiarity. The first is Dukkha Upasama. And the mental synergies are elite. Sankhara Upasama. Your volitional relationship with it is Sankhara Upasama. You can't wait without doing something. You feel like doing something. That's the way you prop up your ego. Sankhara. Sankhara means willful action or volitional action. This is Sankhara Upasama. And first thing is Vijnana, that is Dukkha Upasama. Second is Vijnana, Sankhara Upasama. And the triple process of the conceptualization subsided, that is Papancha Upasama. Mental proliferation stops. You see, there is no end into this mental proliferation. So you just lose the meaning of the terminology, Papancha. Along with the concept of the extremes, of that of a middle also disappeared. In short, all concept loses their significance for him. That Papancha Sankha Pahana. You are not regurgitating. You are not chewing the cud. You are not ruminating upon that. It's useless talking about that. This whole letter is that. Again and again talking the same. But that's why today the base for the discussion. But it is, you feel like I have to do something. I have to ask from the discussion. I have to ask the question. Because you hate the black hole. I know, I'm not telling black hole is Nibbana. Black hole is one side. Something available is one side. So whenever going happen, you have something available is good. Black hole is, that's nihilism. And negativity. And that is the whole Western psychology. They are in material. They are in luxury. They are in searching fame, gain, money. And they achieved it for the last 200 years. What happens? Completely ruined the nature. Completely pollution. Utter pollution. Now, Western country says, for the coming winter, we have to reduce the gas consumption by 15%. Because no gas. So, waste split. Some people say, no problem, we have enough gas. Some people say, definitely we have to tell the people, because so far we were not living on your breathing. You are living on Russian gas. Now for the West and for coming winter, even the New Zealand, they are of course losing the winter season. And that is what I am giving an example. Definitely I know many of you all are coming from the Western countries. You can criticize me. I am just bumpkin from Sri Lanka. I am talking about the quantum physics and all the kind of thing. But I was waiting for this for last 20 years. And I was aware of this book. So he has written in a traditional way. I try to communicate with the circumstantial way, pragmatic way according to the question. And Papancha Upasama and Papancha Sankhara Pahana. As for the relevance of the metaphor of mental pendulum that we have adopted in this connection, attention may now be drawn to the following phrase of the Udana dealing with the problem of Nibbana. Then he says, Nishitasa Chalita. If you hold on to something, you will get attracted. Don't get hold on to something. Nishitasa Chalita, Anishitasa Chalita. You have to understand what is my prop, underpinning thing. And it has begun thin and thin and thin and thin and thin. That means you are progressing. But still, you have a pivot. You have something like pendulum-like. So you have to understand it. Even if it is reducing, there's an internal agitation is increasing. Agitation is because you are happy to lose your ego. egocentric idea. So when it is happening, the best terminology is it's a epistemological suicidal. It's called committing suicide. Epistemologically, your knowledge-wise, you are losing. So therefore, learned people do not happy. Moneyed people do not happy. Which achieved people do not happy. They feel like something losing. But normally, mediocre people, there's nothing to lose because we are familiar with the nothing. We are familiar with the poor culture, so they can manipulate. So I am recommending this book, Concept and Reality, page number 88. I did not read the footnotes, and that is what my answer for this question. I hope you understand it. Otherwise, there are a lot of footnotes, lot of reference, and I appreciate, I agree. This is very deep. I mean, deepest point. If you go beyond, you are no more fighting, no more arguing. You know, words are completely shit, shattering us, disturbing us, but without that we can't talk. Without a book, I can't present this idea so clearly. But I was talking this one for the last 3 years, each and every question and answer session. Some people start writing short notes. What does it mean by appatitita? What does it mean by anidasana? What does it mean by attammayata? These words are not used unless otherwise this person presented it, but that indicates how quickly we go to the selfless situation, how quickly we wanted to come back to the non-self. We can say ESP, extrasensory perception and sensory perception. So sensory, we are slave to the sensory perception. That's what the bloody shit education. And this materialism. But our mind easily can go to extrasensory perception. I am not telling magic. When you go there, your limits in your ego, periphery, jurisdiction lost. Your values, your likings and disliking, loses the periphery, loses the address. Then you feel like bankrupt. You feel like lost. And you feel like difficult to express. You feel like other people have some base, they have address, they have permanent properties, movable and unmovable. I am nothing. So that is the point where you will tread past your local bondages or worldly bondages, but again you can come here. Again you can go there. So that is the most dramatic part in your yogic life. So recommending this book, or this page, I would like to go into the next. If there are no questions, we will go back to the book.
I'm sorry, but there's no questions.
If there are no questions in the present participants, then I would like to cordially invite Venerable Buddha Rakkhita, as usual, to proceed from there now onward.
Okay, so actually a relevant topic is coming up in the sutta again. So that begins with the question from the psychic Buddha to the Buddha. He asked the question, from what do pleasant and unpleasant originate? When what does not exist, do these not come to be? As to this matter of vanishing and coming to be, tell me from what it originates. So the Buddha replies, the pleasant and unpleasant originate from contact. When contact does not exist, there do not come to be. As to this matter of vanishing and coming to be, I tell you that it originates from this. So again, in this sutta here, you can again see how the Buddha is tackling this situation like this yogi this morning has encountered, where there's a lack of contact arising. So this person knows that the contact is diminishing. So contact is that you have, for instance, a visual object, and that visual object gives a rise to visual consciousness, and then that visual consciousness comes in contact with the mind. So if there is a lack of contact with the external senses, then the mind can take contact with the mind consciousness itself. And if that contact, if that object is also diminishing, then you can say that contact has nothing to land on. Or contact itself may be arising and passing away itself. So the visual object may exist. Maybe there's a visual consciousness, but there is no contact to receive the visual consciousness. So contact is this phenomena in the mind. It's a mental attribute. It's a mental property. It's a mental process that's happening. And contact is, again, listed in the dependent origination. So again, here the Buddha is linking what he's talking about into this pattern of phenomena called dependent origination. So when contact does not exist, then pleasantness or unpleasantness does not come to be. So after the visual object, for example, the visual object arises, it comes into contact with the mind. And then after contact, Vedana, pleasant or unpleasant, arises. So again, with this yogi this morning, they have a diminishment of their experience, whether it's the sensory experiences of hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or the experience of thought is diminishing, or the experience of contact itself, the contact with these objects, is diminishing. And so there's an unpleasant experience, a sense of falling into a void, a falling into a darkness, a falling into ignorance, or something like that. It's he describes it here as in the next verse. Actually, he's going to start to call it like does not exist, non-existence. So this girl this morning described it as a black hole, something that does not exist. So there is an existence and not existence. So there is a black hole and not black hole, shall we say, solid earth. And so with that experience of solid earth or black hole arises a pleasant or unpleasant feeling. So once this black hole is arising, like in this morning's description, there was a feeling of unpleasantness arising. So the Buddha is asking us, he says here in his answer, as to the matter of in the question he asks, as to this matter of vanishing and coming to being, tell me from what it originates. As to this matter of vanishing and coming to be, I tell you it originates from this. From this meaning from this contact. So vanishing and coming to being is this vanishing and coming to being of contact, or vanishing of coming to being of the visual object with the contact. So, you know, this is just going on all the time. In every moment, we have this vanishing and coming to being of contact. We have vanishing and coming to being of the visual object. So but we're not paying attention. We fill in the gap. We ignore the black hole. We don't see it even though it's right in front of us. So Mahatera was talking about CERN today, and another different scientific tool just got switched on last week, which was the James Webb Telescope, and they're using it to look out into space and to look at black holes. And because of this new telescope, now they can see black holes right in front of their nose that were always there, but they never saw them before. Now they can see these black holes more clearly. Not that you can directly see a black hole, but you can see how it affects everything around it. So Vedana is affected by the black hole of coming into being and vanishing, coming into being and vanishing. So the mind is coming into being and vanishing, and the body, rupa, is coming into being and vanishing. Contact is coming into being and vanishing, and visual object is coming into being. Visual consciousness is coming into being and vanishing. But we pretend that there's a continuity and that there's a permanence because we don't pay attention. We don't see the flux of the nature the nature of nama, the nature of rupa, the nature of subject, the nature of object. We don't pay attention to this phenomena that everything is like in a complete flux all the time. We think everything is permanent. We think the object that we're looking at is permanent, and we think that the person looking at the object, the subject, is also permanent. And we think I am permanent, and this ego is permanent. And all of this is arising because we're not aware, we're not paying attention. So again, to become familiar with this experience of like it's like a loss of consciousness, but it's not. If you know you're losing consciousness as such, then you actually know that consciousness is being lost. So this is not unconscious. This is in fact very conscious, and this is a mind that is perceiving something very subtly happening in the world, just like those scientists last week were discovering black holes that had been in front of their nose the whole time. And so, you know, this is very profound work, and requires a great familiarity and a sort of an inner confidence in oneself, and a true faith in the Dhamma, that that this experience that is being experienced as being described this morning is the experience of, you know, millions upon millions of yogis who have followed the path over these 2.5 millennia. And so too now you are discovering for yourself what these deep suttas in the Sutta Nipada are discussing. Anyway, I'd like to hear what Mahathero has to say about this.
I'm very happy because Vidyarakhetanaya found fault with me about the CERN and the black hole and the quantum physics. So scientists found matter, antimatter, and dark matter, that is called antimatter, and dark energy. They explained matter is less than 5%, sometimes maybe 2%. Dark matter is 26% and 70% dark energy. And dark matter, dark energy, you can't perceive by gadgets because you are not looking for. But for the last week, they started the CERN after all the doubts. And they started accelerated particle, this thing, how do you call it, ABC or something like that. There's a special this thing. So far, they stopped it thinking that will create a black hole. So first they started, then the Hubble telescope, they start to find black holes. There were enough in the space, no one see. Because they are not prepared. They thought dark energy and dark matter is impossible to see. And black hole is, you can suck anything, and it becomes nothing. No address. So I am not telling it is Nibbana. But how the scientists found the matter, they were completely on the matter, communism and the science, physics based on the matter. So there is less than 5% of the world knowledge. They were not aware of the dark energy and the dark matter. And it has been expressed. But in our time, in the universities, on the schools, never thought about the dark matter and dark energy. But with the rabbit on the earth rabbit hole? That's a film, famous film. On the rabbit hole, I don't know. And they started publishing books. I read Goswami's book, and it is Preach of Chopra and others giving. And they were fabricating it with the Hinduism. And that book is called Soul of the Physics, Physics of the Soul. And they found, even though it is impossible to explain, there is an existence of the dark matter and dark energy. And we're talking, and in the quantum physics, they understood, they have a lot of stories fabricated about that. But they are found outside. But as he mentioned, millions of yogis are practicing and see inside, and see, close your eyes. Reduce the connection, contacts. Go to the silent place. Reduce the contact. Don't entertain smell and the taste. Don't move the body. And reduce the contacts as much as possible and let whatever the happening through involuntary way, unwillful way, I mean the natural breath. When you are walking after 30 minutes, you are just walking and you can see yourself walking as a second person. There you can understand there's the least amount of volitional material, volitional activity, or willful action. And there you can see, even for that, sometimes happy for the in-breath, but the out-breath is not good. Sometimes you are happy with the sitting, you are not happy with the walking. Sometimes you are happy with the walking and sitting, do not happy with the day-to-day activities. So everything is, we reduce to the involuntary or parasympathetic nervous system. Parasympathetic nervous system never create any karma. So you're pure being, but you're boring. You're monotonous. You feel like jumping and go. Get up and go. Because you are Buddha gave such a cage, like a Faraday cage, no electric shocks. So you sit, volunteer yourself. No, I am not interested in what is visuals, not sound contacts, smell, taste, touch. And I let everything happen, choicelessly be aware. And you see how boring. Within 2 minutes, you feel it. Because you see no will, no willful, no volitional activity. So, highlighting this, Arthur Schopenhauer mentioned, each will is evil. Whatever you do willfully, you are disturbing the society. You are disturbing the environment. And Buddha says, role play, you just sit, reduce as much as possible willful action and give 1 minute, few seconds, what is happening? Still you have liking and disliking. This is no will, no person. And then if you read the interview report, very easily you can understand, still you try to impose yourself. Soon you impose yourself, likings and dislikings are there. And then there are some experience extra sensory, not sensory. That is called ananubhutika. And that is called mystic. Science can't touch it because it is, you can't read in the material, the gadgets. But the 1001 yogis are experiencing it. What is the place in the Western science? To see this area, they found a new term, mind science. Mind science. And in the mind science, again, they have to come and see what is happening in the silent yogi's mind. He's only see introvert, not extrovert. Extrovert, we have enough, maybe 500 research papers each day on mindfulness. But no one is internalizing. So both you must have. And then easily you can go into that. Then you feel like lost. You lost address. You feel like no boundary. You feel like you can't articulate. You feel like, what can I do next? Because you know easily your ego is disappearing. Again, you want to reinforce. You have to give oxygen. You have to give saline. You have to give artificial respiration to the losing ego. And it is your idiotness. Not someone is imposing you to reinstall ego. It is your desire. Because you don't like even the ego without the boundary. You want to have the boundary. Then the question is asking, satam asanta asatam kuto nidana. Whatever this liking and disliking, desirability, from where does it arise? Contact. Whatever you do willfully, utterly with liking and disliking. Now you reduce with your willful action of not seeing, not hearing, at least one thought moment, let my extreme stream of consciousness to experience whatever it happens. Choicelessly be aware. Very simple. It is, you must not be a Buddhist. You must not be a forest monk for that. And very easily, the prisoners in prison, they experience it. Even the drug addicts, rehabilitating people, experience. Those who can't experience, go to asylum. They are mad. But they don't like, just like the report. Oh, it's a black hole. If you go closer, it will suck me inside. And then what? Fighting. Because they don't like Nibbana. That is called fear of freedom. Eric Fromm wrote a book on fear of freedom. Fear of unknown. So we are in a battalion. We declared we like unknown. We like freedom. So what? Let alone all known things, let alone all the bounded things, let alone the things which have liking and disliking. So people will chase you out, telling you are unsocial, you are not believing and accepting the constitution, you are not following the ethical codes, and you don't like likings and disliking. So that is why the monk means. We are a silent sermon. We are declaring. You bloody shit, you go to the village, you go to the town, you go to the capital city, have your own fun. But in the forest law. Survival of the fittest. There's a German phrase, I can't remember. The might is right. It's the forest. So in the Sri Lankan constitution, no space for the forest monks. Because it's the Roman Dutch law. Damn with. There is no mentioning about the forest dwelling. There is no mentioning about black hole or anything. Because they are in the Roman Catholic law or English law. So today, Sri Lankan justice is bullshit. Even in Rome, they are not using the Roman Dutch law. But we bloody fools. So we started Buddhist jurisprudence. The first course started in the Nagananda Visvavidyalaya, diploma course for Buddhist jurisprudence, suggested by Bhutan, the Chief Justice. Luckily, at that time, Sri Lankan Chief Justice Minister was a Muslim. He came, Bhante, the first time 50 years ago, I read Kalama Sutta. I was so elated. But still I am a Muslim. Don't misunderstand. I am a Muslim, but I am so happy. I am so happy in Sri Lanka, in a private university, they started Buddhist jurisprudence. And GLP just came. He was the teacher of all the lawyers. And he said, I am very happy to come to this stage. And I went all the way to Colombo to participate in that. Because I am not telling Buddhist jurisprudence leading you to Nibbana. At least it will accommodate forest monks. It will accommodate the forest way of living. Where the constitution can give the provisions for forest living. No. Even the monks are not giving us any due respect. I told the ex-president, I am the only forest monk came to the president, telling you, your constitution have no place. But all kings offered the Sri Lanka 7 times for the sasana. But you people taken this as your king, but you don't know we are living. We are living. So likewise, black holes are living. They have not focused on the telescope. Even if they see, they have phobia. They think something wrong with the lens. They think something focused wrongly. Because the CERN was not started. America started their own collider. But still for the moment, European one is the working. American one is bigger than that. So that is what I am telling, science also good. They are disproving the old muddy theories and coming because of what? Buddhism. Because of what? Everyone, listen carefully, deep study, in-depth education of the mindful science and all are taken from this very Potipita book, Sutta Nipata. Sri Lankan Buddhists never read it. They do not know there is a book called Sutta Nipata. It is in the Kuddaka Nipaya. The Kuddaka Nipaya sundry items. Even in Sangayana, it came under the sundry item. This is all the chips, all the pieces. Buddha Rakita is mad. He told that we will take the Sutta Nipata for the discussion. Because he's asking for trouble. Being an Irish. I am sorry. I am sorry. So therefore he explained, but I have little one more 5 sentences. One thing explained in this book, how we can see non-materiality with respect to the materiality, feeling, perception, volitional activities and stream of consciousness. As far as the materiality is concerned, space, avakasa, is the absence of this thing that is called akasananchayatane. After passing 4 jhanic, rupa jhana, akasana, that's the absence of rupa. And no pain, no pleasure situation, that means adukkama sukha vedana, is what you call boring. That's the feeling-wise, the liberating path, middle path. Perception, no perception, neither no perception nor non-perception. Nevasanya, nasanya is the perception-wise middle path. And sankhara, visankhara gatan chitta. This is the first declaration of the Buddha after the enlightenment. Whatever you do willfully is muck, is shit, is bullshit. So we can live without self because you can see normal breathing happens, you can observe. You are just walking on the walking path, you can observe. You are eating your meal, you can observe. You are taking a bath, you can observe. So there are no sankhara, but volitionally happens, habitually happens. So sometimes people call sankhara is like habituation. And vijnana, no address, lost. Still you know, lost because other time you have periphery, you other time you have the borders, you other time you have limitations, other time you have rupa, vedana, sanya. But in this time you can see vijnana lost, so psychiatrists will say you are mad. We say psychiatrists are mad. I challenge. They never heard about such a thing in the Western psychology. They never heard about the cheating nature of the Western psychology, perverted nature of the mind of the Western. They believe mind. Maybe thinking it is a God creation or intelligent design. Now intelligent, artificial intelligence, not the intelligent design. I deny both. But we have this. But telescope has not focused so far. Once you focused, you can see enough black holes. Not that nowadays, now only Buddha appeared, now only the Dhamma appears, Sangha appeared. No, it was there. You have no dasanina sampanno. Jittincha anupagamma silava dasanina sampanno is kataniya metta sutta daily we chant in the vihara. Jittincha anupagamma. Don't go with this bias and that bias view. Silava, don't disturb others. Declare yourself you are not hating others, hurting others. Dasanina sampanno, you must focus. You can avenue it. You can, there's another table, avenuing, face to face with the truth. You have to focus the telescope to the black hole, then black holes are there. Not that black holes are arising due to the focusing. Black holes are there. But you are not this thing. So these five sentences reduced into the one chapter where I read it. How can we go beyond the materiality, go beyond the feelings, go beyond the perception, go beyond the volitional activities and the mind in a deductive way, inferential way. And that is what we call, you find in the Sutta Nipata, and you find in the concept and reality. How can we teach them in these classrooms, at least in Pirivana, where the monks are being taught? Even the directors, they do not know. Even the syllabus, never touch it. And when you are taking them their attention in the retreats, they are looking up and down. But Muslim people, Catholic people, imprisoners, drug addicted, accept wholeheartedly. It is relevant to them because they are in the suffering. So that's all I have to share. I'm sorry, I shouted too much.
I was just thinking of how I've heard that when we see something moving, we're not actually seeing motion because we can't see motion because actually each perception our mind is filling in the gaps, and because what you're actually seeing is many pictures of something moving. So there's actually a gap, and you can feel motion. Though if you're touching something and your eyes are closed, you can feel the movement. So I was wondering, did the Buddha, was he able to see those gaps? And how do we know that, I mean, as far as meditation is concerned, is there some way we, at some point, that we will be able to see those gaps?
If I take this question, he says, don't look at the movement, but just see matter. Just see the in-breath and out-breath. Just see Rupa Rupa, Saddha Rupa, Gandha Rupa, Rasa Rupa, that means visual objects, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And observe it, ultimately it leads you to the nothingness. At the beginning you have to focus into the matter and observe continuously, chronologically it is going to the nothingness. Not at the beginning. At the beginning you see the null hypothesis. You disprove it. But you must have that view, that you must have that dasana. I am not looking at the breath. I am just looking at the breath, but it's a movement. So matter is the what the beginner can understand. But matter says, but even the matter going to show 11 facets. Don't be choosy. Just let all the 11 facets to run. And then what happens? A movement. It's like a Hindu and Hindutva. The matter is in the movement. So after long observation only, you can see the movement, and that also appears like negative to your meditation. Appears like a threat. So you have to go prepared. So movement at the beginning thing, and then how this moving and movement. It is anicca, anicca-ta, anicca-ta to pasana. That's the way the Pandita Sayadaw's book is. Anicca is something changing nature. It is exemplified by the breath, or exemplified by the walking meditation, or exemplified by your eating, whatever may be the relevant thing according to your upbringing. And then you find, even if it is based on the breathing or rising and falling left, right, everything is in the that kind of a movement. That's called anicca-tanu-passana. Anicca-anupassana jnana, you find, understand, even if you are looking at or not, things are happening. Against that only we say everything is permanent. You have a permanent property, you have a permanent wife, you have a permanent passport, you have a permanent bank account, you have a car, and you see you are rich. You are completely lost. Mara will come and give 2 cars, give 2 wives, and you'll be happy. So this is the way the world, the present-day education, present-day development, present-day artificial, intelligence, completely camouflage. But the thing is moving nature, anicca-ta, it appears like a threat. That's why you must be very virtuous person. And you must be a Samaritan. You must live in a not disturbing situation, otherwise you will be carried out by the drugs and the woman and the gambling and all the kind of, but you are not. And then still, whenever you understand meditation, you feel threat. People feel lost. They go to psychiatrist. This is Bhante, I can't sleep. I can't eat. The bed is not comfortable. But his food is not palatable. The people not happy. May I go and see a football game and come? May I go and see my father and come? But they give again that kind of a permanent notion. So losing and at least a concept of renunciation itself is more than arahantship. Later only we really realize why we renounced. But you see the majority of monks in Sri Lanka, they are already renounced. So one layperson suggested them, what about again renouncing? They are doing more lay people work. And if you go and tell, they are the most reacting group than the prisoners, than the Muslims, than the Catholics. That's what we learn in Satipatthana. Lucky enough, we have decided to allocate the whole meditation center for the learning monks. After this retreat, again a batch will come. They were fighting. But this is Nisanwani is teaching. We don't see in this book. It is not relevant to our syllabus. But the syllabus writer says you have to go and get 10 days retreat, otherwise you won't get marks. You see the contradiction? We are going to give in the constitutional way. It's utter nonsense way we are doing. Because otherwise they don't accept it. You are coming from different countries, different cultures, and you are at least ready to accept the concept. But we are foolhardy. Case hardening, have you heard the case hardening? Foolhardy.
I don't know.
You are utter fool, very difficult to teach. I mean, you have a crust, I've tried. very difficult to soak yourself in the truth. If you boil, parboil the rice, and if you directly put it into the sun, outer will be, a crux will be dried, and internally again the soft area will be there, rotting start. But you are slowly, slowly, gradual dry, everything will be removed. So case-hardening means you are just put into high temperature, hot sun, this case-hardening happened, lost. So it's a case-hardening we have to learn very detailed in agriculture. All the monks are case-hardened. Idiots. I call them in asylum. But I try myself just be a person, just to be a human rather than a monk and share it with. So Vinaya is the main culprit. Main culprit. You have to understand Vinaya with Dhamma. Dhamma Sandoso, Vinaya Sandosa, Vinaya Sandoso, Dhamma Sandosa. Very easy to learn Vinaya, but you become a case hardening. Very difficult to teach Vipassana. Very difficult to do day-to-day work. They want a precise cave and live in the completely frugal life, and everything is suspicious. And people must live in the ideologistic without Nibbana. Ideology without Nibbana is completely mad. So therefore it has to go. So therefore it's a real sacrification. It's very painful, just like aberration. So whenever the matter is about to see continuously, it's a chronological change. It's what you call physics. But the physicists, they don't like it. Unlucky enough, Newtonian physics in our age went to Einstein physics. Not the gravity, but they talk about the strong and weak electronic energy. It is not subject to gravity. It's non-local. So that is the way they lost. Now they are trying to find the Hebron particle, the God particle. What is the God created? Because 60% of the scientists are still believing. They are the bloody fellows writing books. They are the bloody fellows running the scientific magazines today. They are the bloody fellows going to give the Nobel Prize. They are the bloody fellows going to give the Magsaysay Prizes to mislead you. Not to find your own research. Find their own research. They will give any grant. But we in Satipasala, we in Nisarnaya, we mind your own business. Be mindful, so it is not very friendly, very juicy, very sappy. So we just say, be mindful and mind your own business. But of course, we are sharing, we are shouting each other. That is not to overpower you. You also can express. So therefore, matter is the first thing. You have to study and see chronological. And then the feeling is the second thing. See the chronological change. And the perception is the third thing. And they are very volatile. And then the volitional and then the mind, the consciousness. So therefore, whenever you see the matter, the beginner, we say, see the matter. Not the changing nature, not the transient nature. Just to see the matter, focus and keep the view with. And then Vipassana means see chronological changes. And each and every person impose it, is something happening to me. Is something happening to myself. Something happening to my core. So they psychologically get disturbed. So therefore meditation leads to madness is the theory of Venerable Dhammika. You start teaching. You stop teaching. I was shocked. Because luckily I went to Nisarnavani and I got the atmosphere. But he went to Singapore, he went to Melbourne, the mad world. They can't facilitate this kind of thing. Recently, he told in a talk, I also was there, if you wish to develop Vipassana, go to place like Nisarnavani. Don't do it in the bloody places. If you wish to do operation, go to operation theatre. Don't go to the fish market. Don't go to the kitchen. So that is what we have to tell. And one person, he was here, he was a Danish. His father was Italian. And he told there's a strict monasteries in the Catholic monasteries in the Italy. Like Trappist and kind of thing. They don't touch money. They don't look at the female animals also. No females. only the corpse can take out. But they don't know why we must not touch money. They don't know why. Why should we not have the contact with the female? And we are how lucky. In the Vinaya, everything is explained. How we are going to communicate with that Italian monks? Never in this on this earth, in this technological age. We are living in two different worlds. Technology never bridged them. They are utterly live up to the mark. They don't know. We try. We are also doing same. As much as possible, but the Buddha explained in Vinaya why you should not touch money, why you should not have sleep with a woman. You see, you can't explain it in the scientific way, but without that, don't do vipassana. If you are doing, you are asking for trouble. You are going to do a brain operation in the kitchen. It's not ethical. You have to have etiquettes. So we are lucky. We are lions. We are shouting. I don't know whether I have hammered you unwantedly.
Avsarai Swaminnansa, Avsarai, other noble friends. I'm not quite sure whether we have enough time to talk or discuss anything. But thank you very much for the interesting discussion in Sinhala as well as the same topic even in English. There were a lot of things that were going in my mind when I was listening. And I was... just try to say one or two. One is the reference to the scientists and other than Lord Buddha and his great disciples, the best scientist Lord Buddha has met was Rohitasa. For Rohitasa, he said the very same thing. He has gone to the entire universe and checked for a place where there is no suffering. But when he came to the Buddha and Buddha said, you can't walk and find the place. You go through your own fathom-long body. So you see the entire universe there. So he was the best researcher or the best scientist apart from Lord Buddha and the disciples. So the science we have today is, as Bhante says, there is nothing for us to take because science is based on Tripitaka. And the other thing is about the black hole. To face the black hole, as far as I can understand, what the Blessed One has said is keep the mindfulness to the fore and have ardent energy and have clear comprehension led by mindfulness. And the other one, I don't know what how you call it in English. It says Vinaya Loke Abhijja Domanasam. So when these three qualities are there in your mindfulness, you can go through anything. And when you reach a place where you have no thoughts or no materiality, or even the consciousness is very subtle, and you fall into a dark area, and where you have the highest magnetic force, so far as the science is concerned, which is the craving. And even when we reach that state, we can see, we can observe ourselves, that we also get sucked into it. So people, those who are afraid of that sucking, they just avoid it, as the report had mentioned from Niranjala. So like that, there were many thoughts going in my mind. So I don't think there is sufficient time to mention all that. So that's my comment, Bhante.
Another American, Donald Trump. Oh, no, Joe Biden, sorry.
Thank you all for the good comments. Wanted to say that, we've been talking a lot about science and comparing it to the Dhamma and, you know, contrasting it to the Dhamma. And if you really look at it, you know, science, like, is very much in many regards based on, like, material pursuits. Like, I want to live forever. And, you know, like, the scientists and the, you know, people making medicine and stuff, like pharmaceutical companies, they're always trying to find ways to like help people live longer. But no matter how long you live, you're eventually going to die either way. It's like, you know, you can't really, you can prolong.
Pharmaceutical industries can live long.
Who?
Pharmaceutical industries can live long.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you prolong your life, you're still going to die eventually. So, science, a lot of science is like, based on, because like when I was growing up, you know, there was this kind of idea that from a lot of people, I mean, it was like either you were a Judeo-Christian person, or you were like a atheist scientist. And it was like, but once I got into the Buddhist teachings, I kind of realized, like, you know, science is also like, you know, kind of, it's just about like living forever, like, you know, like that they just want to find ways to keep people alive like forever. That's the idea, where we're making medicines and making all this new technology to help people live longer, and just with this idea that we're somehow gonna, yeah, we're gonna live forever. So so I wanted to point that out. Yeah, it's
now, today is the best time for that, because science also come to the fairly good high level. Suffering also come to the fairly high level. So much of people, due to thanks to the science, 8 billion or something people, they want to reduce into 6 billion. The science is the tool. The corona is not enough. Now they are going to monkey fox, chicken fox, not working. And all the fox not working. And the fox news also not enough. They are making one. They show in telling that you are prolonging the life. They are the bloody shit, lab leak, finding ways. But imagine a poor farmer living in a village and doing their job, and of course they are exploiting the nature. But the minimum harm. But what about the industrial, large-scale agriculture? What happened to American Dust Bowl? What they are doing? And when we went to university, we were very poor because land is hilly. We can't use the big instrument, so we can't produce high the rice production because we are in the peasant farming. And English people came and they started the estates. It's 1,000 acres. Well, it's completely lost. Now small holdings, maximum 5 acres, 3 acres, quality low. And Ranjan is the president, and he is the highest producer of tea. He is collecting, he is having only factories. But he knows how to make the best product and to give maximum money. But it's a small holdings. So a small is beautiful, as Schumacher says. But the mass production, what is going to say? So we are also waiting to make Singapore out of that. Singapore was waiting to become a Sri Lanka. But they went there, it is utterly, utterly hell. What is happening in Japan? What is happening in the West? What is happening in the America? Can we show anything? No, we have not started the game yet. We have a lot of things to show because we are 40 years I have lived meditating. So they will say I am just a lost because after getting a postgraduate and everything, I have not raised a family, not doing business and just eating from the people and just idle. That's the way my family members are accusing me. Mm. I am just a selfish fellow, try to become enlightened by himself. They can't live in the society. That is why he is going to the forest. But your explanation is different. You are coming from different countries. Not that you are not successful. But I have 140 years of experience. I am always ready to share. But I know, just like a back hole, you feel fear. You feel sucked into that. Then you have, don't do it that. I will go even to the black hole slowly, mindfully, later.
Yeah, the mind is, the mind is definitely used to just accumulating things and having sensual pleasures and having different possessions and craving for those things. So, you know, if somebody were to experience like a black hole or just emptiness, it's like, whoa, like this is just not something that is like normal. You know, like emptiness, you know, it's so not still, having anything.
Still, we have to make pleasurable. We have to make attractive. The vipassana, the nisarnavane, Satyavasala, and our teaching. So today, the highest amount of participation for the discussion. I am really happy, and different viewpoints coming, but that's Venerable mentioned, no time now. So it is time up for the end of the discussion. Thank you very much for the participation. I would like to sum up the today's discussion.